Hello and welcome to the Sales Technology Training Program. This is Rick Cooper. Thanks for joining me today. I'm excited that you're with me. I've got a lot of great information to share with you. And the call today will include 30 minutes of content and 30 minutes of Q&A. You can check your email for a copy of the notes from today's call. To ask a question or to share a win, you can send me an email at rickc@ericlofholm.com. And a great place to be on the internet during the call is out on Facebook, and you can join us out in our Facebook group. You can find the link in the email message that I sent out earlier today. I would encourage you do a couple things. One, you know, take that link and save it somewhere. You can easily find it. And then also make sure you add it to your favorites on Facebook. If you go to the homepage of Facebook, you'll see over on the left-hand side you have a list of favorites, and you can add things to that. You can add pages and groups, and you simply do that by hovering over one of those items, click on the little pencil icon, and that will give you an option to add it to your favorites. And once it's there, then it makes it easy to be able to locate it there, unless you're like me and you have 20 different links, and so, but it still will be easier to find them than having to search through a whole long list. So join me out there. I can see Roy is out there already. He says, hi, everyone. Tom Holtis is posting out there and says, good afternoon, Rick and group. And let's set a goal for today of let's set a goal for 40 comments. 40 comments or bust. So make sure you post out, share your takeaways as we go through the call. And by the way, if you are new to the call and you're not able to get into the Facebook group, it's probably because we're not connected on Facebook yet. We need to be friends on Facebook, and then I can add you to the group. And I included my link in the email message. You can just go to facebook.com/RickSCooper, add me as a friend, and then let me know you want to be added to the group, and then I can add you. You can also access the audio and video recordings out on our membership site. There's a link out at salestechsystems.com/stp-archives. And I also put another link up there which has where you can access the 4 social media marketing videos. And that link is salestechsystems.com/tech-membership. Both of those links are in the email message I sent. I would encourage you to save those, bookmark them so you can go back and easily find them. And the Sales Technology Training Program is a 12-week program that's designed to help you implement systems and generate leads and earn sales online. And there are 12 modules of content. And today we're going to be talking about webinars, teleseminars, and Google Hangouts. So we're talking about ways that you can deliver presentations online in order to be able to get results. And before we jump into that, I just wanted to share a quick announcement. I wanted to invite you to attend an upcoming webinar that's going to be on this Friday. And that is going to be on, it's actually a preview webinar for the Technology Mastermind Program, which is a new program that I'm launching with Eric Lofholm. And if you'd like more details about that, then you can, I just set up a Facebook event today. And if somebody in the group could go locate that, I've got it off of the social media outcomes page. But the event is set up there, and you can go register. It's going to be Friday, April 18th at 10 a.m. Pacific. So just look for a Technology Mastermind preview event. And the link to register directly is salestechsystems.com/tech-mastermind-insights. Sorry, that one's a little bit long, but I'll share the link right here. And that's a free webinar this Friday. And we'll be sharing some content and also sharing details about the program. So there it is. I just posted it out in the group. So let's go ahead and dive into our topic for today. Today we're going to be talking about webinars, teleseminars, and Google Hangouts. So first of all, do you have a mindset around using events in your business? Do you do any event marketing? If you're not doing any events, then you might be missing out on a big opportunity. And let me just share with you one idea that I got from Michael Port. When I first started my business, one of my mentors was Michael Port. I attended one of Michael's programs. And he wrote the book Booked Solid, and then a follow-up book called Beyond Booked Solid. And one of the concepts that Michael talks about is always have something that people can invite you to. Or excuse me, always have something that you can invite people to. There you go. Got to make sure you have the invitation going the right way. And the concept is that people love to be invited to things. It's just a fact. People just love to be invited to things, and especially if it's something that's exclusive. So there's a strategy around coming up with ideas and things where you can invite people to events. And event marketing is a very successful way of being able to market your business. And one of the reasons that it's successful is because usually event marketing is not just promotional. It's not just about making a sales presentation. It's about delivering value. It's about educating and informing people. So it's a strategy that I use in my business. It's a strategy that Eric Laufholm uses in his business. And so there are many different formats for events. You can do live events. You can do teleseminars, webinars, Google Hangouts, all sorts of things. So why don't we do this? Why don't we have a quick little exercise here? Why don't you go ahead and post in the Facebook group and let me know if you're doing any event marketing, and if so, what types of events are you doing? Are you doing live seminars? Are you doing workshops? Do you go out and speak to local groups? Are you doing teleseminars, webinars, Google Hangouts, or anything else for that matter? Go ahead and post in the Facebook group. I'll check out there in a few minutes, and we'll see who's sharing. And so what is the reason for hosting events? Why is that such a valuable strategy? Well, I think for one of the reasons that people like events is because, number one, there's a value not only of, you know, getting information, but there's also a value in connecting with other people. And obviously, if you're going to a live event, then you can meet people directly there. In fact, in the Sacramento area, I'm teaming up with Jim Padilla, who is the senior sales coach at Eric Laufholm International, and we're hosting a monthly networking group. So we are bringing in top-notch speakers, and then we're also speaking at the event ourselves. And for the most part, we're not even making any offers or anything like that. We don't have anything to sell or present. In some cases, we use it as a lead generation opportunity in terms of sharing a free offer or something else like that. But we host meetings on a monthly basis. So for anybody who's in Northern California, I would definitely encourage you to attend. They're on the third Thursday of the month at 6 p.m. Pacific time, and the events are located up in Rockland, which is, they're literally like the hotel we're using right now is about 2 to 3 miles away from Eric Laufholm International headquarters. And so on Thursdays, we just have to drive a short distance and then get to the location. But see, people like coming out to networking events. They like the opportunity to meet other people. And even if you're doing events online, it still gives people an opportunity to network and connect. So for you that's listening to this call right now, or if you're listening to the recording, you have an opportunity to participate in the Sales Technology Training Program Facebook group. And so that's a place where you can go and you can make connections with other people that are on the webinar right now. And then if you're hosting your own events, then you can give people an opportunity to network and connect online as well. Let's see here. All right, so I see a couple other posts that are out in the group. And so let's see. Roy says, are you doing event marketing in your business? Roy says, always have something that you can invite people to. He says, event marketing about delivering value and not just promotion. Tom says, no event marketing at this time. Alan, Brian Murphy says, cash flow game, playing events. Oh, very good. And then also, people love to be invited to events. And a couple other posts, I'll go back and read those a little bit later. So if there's anybody else who's listening in who hasn't had a chance to share whether you're doing events, what types of events, Rial, if you could post. And I think Les Jarvel is on the call too. If you want to go out to the Facebook group and post also, that would be great. Now, let's talk about the order and sequence of developing events. So first of all, if you've never done an event before, where should you start? Typically, you want to start with the thing that has the least amount of or I should say the easiest thing to do. And in most cases, the easiest thing to do is a phone call, a conference call, a teleseminar. That's the easiest thing to do because all it requires is that your audience have a phone and then be able to listen in. And, you know, it can be even easier than going out and speaking to a group. It certainly can be a little less, let's put it this way. A lot of people are uncomfortable with public speaking. And so the thought of going out to a group, getting up in front and talking to people might make them nervous. So in that case, a teleseminar or conference call is kind of nice because you don't actually have to look at people and you don't have people looking at you. And you could actually read from your notes and deliver your content. So it can be a very easy thing to do. And in fact, there are even services that allow you to automate that. You could even record it in advance and then just play it, have it played at the time of the event. So it's a very powerful strategy. So if you haven't thought about using teleseminars in your business, I definitely encourage you to do that. And once you have a teleseminar script, it becomes much easier then to develop a webinar. Because, see, with a webinar, you need not only a script or information or notes that you can work from as you're talking, but you also need PowerPoint slides. And PowerPoint slides, you know, can take anywhere from an hour or two or 3 or 4 hours to create. So I always, when I come up with a new topic, I think to myself, how can I quickly get this information into the hands of people who want to know it? And the fastest way usually to do that is a teleseminar. So the progression is that I will often first create a teleseminar, and then I will go back and I will host a webinar. And I'm also working on implementing some Google Hangouts as well. And we'll get into more specifics about these on the call a little bit later. Now, of course, each one of these strategies involves some technology. Even if you're going out and speaking at an event, it could be that you might have a PowerPoint presentation. And so you have not only creating the PowerPoint presentation, but you also have speaking and being able to present with the PowerPoint slides. So, you know, a couple things. You don't want to stand in front of the projector so that the projector image appears on your shirt. That's a no-no. But there are also other little things too. Sometimes you have a clicker and sometimes you don't. Last week I had the opportunity to speak for the Sacramento Coaches Association. That's the local chapter for the International Coaching Federation, or ICF. And so I brought, they said bring your presentation on a little USB stick. So by the way, that's a good idea, is to have a little portable drive that you can carry, a USB drive. And put your file on there, and then they copy and paste it into there. And I always bring my laptop, too, just in case there's some kind of a snafu. And then when I got there, they said, we don't have, or the clicker doesn't work, so you'll have to hit the page down button, you know, which wouldn't have been so bad, but the table they had the laptop on was not like a standard-sized table. It was like a baby table, you know, one of these that's like about 2 feet off the ground. So every time I had to change the page, I literally had to lean all the way over and press the page down button. So sometimes you run into little technology challenges with that. So you've got to get some practice in working with technology and learn how to overcome the challenges when you face them. The technologies online can also be complex. For a call like this, I'm using a free bridge line. And there are quite a few little moving parts, like at the beginning of the call, I have to mute the call, and then I turn the entry notice off. You might have been on some calls before, Bridgeline calls, where as new people join the call, you heard a little beep or a tone. That's called an entry notice. And so when people join the line, you can either have it set to play the entry notice or turn the entry notice off. I don't like it because it's distracting and annoying. You know, it could be for some calls they like to have that on there, but I don't think it's appropriate for these kind of calls. It can be distracting. And then, of course, I also have to record the call. And you have the ability to do this through your phone, so you have little phone codes you could enter in and set everything. And then in the case of the service I use, there's also a dashboard through the computer. So I can log into a portal, and then I can get access to this dashboard, and I can control all these options directly from the screen. That also tells me who's on the call, too. So, you know, even with a teleseminar, there's other aspects to the technology that you have to learn how to use and master. And one of the other things is when you're doing teleseminars and webinars, you have to be pretty good at multitasking, because oftentimes there are multiple things that have to be done. And while you're doing all those things, you also have to be talking. And so one of the challenges that a lot of people have is when they do a call, that when they have to troubleshoot something and figure it out, they want to just stop and fix the problem and focus their attention there, but they have a whole audience of people that's expecting them to talk. So over the years, I've gotten pretty good at being able to multitask, so I can troubleshoot and solve problems at the same time as I'm talking. So I kind of have to split my brain in half, and one part of it is talking and sharing information, and the other part is trying to troubleshoot and figure out what's going on. So, and then if you add social media on top of that, that's a whole nother layer of communication. And, you know, sometimes in cases like on this call, I might actually have my Facebook app open on my phone, and that way I can jump in and see who's posting. So if I ask a question, then I can see if anybody has responded, and that gives me another way to connect versus just looking on the computer. And I can see Real posted and said, I am not currently hosting events. He said, all this is new to me. That's why I'm here. Awesome. Alan says, conference calls are simple and less intimidating than face-to-face. Yeah, good takeaway. And all right, I will read a couple more comments a little bit later, head back out there. But let me go ahead and continue on. So let's talk about webinars for a moment too. So with webinars, you need some type of a webinar service. And there are many of them that are out there. I use a service called GoToWebinar. There's also a version of it called GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting is less expensive. It allows fewer people on the call. I think it gives you between 16 to 25, whereas the GoToWebinar gives you about 100 people that you can have on the line. The other big difference is with GoToWebinar, it also handles the event registration. So you can have people fill out a form, and it will automatically send out email reminders. Whereas with GoToMeeting, you create the link, and then you send the link to the people to let them know to go and join the meeting. And there are other services beyond that. You might have heard, well, there's ASAP, there's WebEx, there is Any Meeting, and there's also join.me, join.me, and then others as well. So each one's a little bit different. You kind of have to learn what technologies are in there. And, of course, one of the things with the webinars, they're also building in video chat now. So they're giving you the ability to show your webcam so that people can actually see you on screen as well. So that's an option to take a look at for within a webinar. And that actually leads us to our next one, which is a Google Hangout. And so with a Google Hangout, that's all about doing a video chat. In fact, one of my friends who's a social media expert, he has been gone out down to Google headquarters and had a chance to visit there. And he said that all their communications are through Google Hangouts. They don't use phones. They don't use email. They use Google Hangouts. And that sounds surprising to me, but I can see how that would be a valuable communication tool, because if you want to have a conversation, if you want to have a meeting, then why not do it as a video meeting rather than, say, on a conference call? On a side note, there's a funny video. I forget who recorded it, but you can probably search for it online, which is all about all the faux pas and mistakes that people make on conference calls acted out as if it were a real live meeting. And so they they go through every little problem that happens on a conference call, including like echo sounds or, you know, people who are on the call but don't say they're on the call and everything else. But it's done from a humorous standpoint. So if I find that video, I'll see if I can share it. I know Roy is our master at digging up content online. He can probably find it. I thought it was something like Travis and Tripp or something like that, but we can search for that later as well. And so with the Google Hangouts, there are some challenges with it. One of the challenges that I've experienced is you really need to have current and modern technology to be on a Google Hangout. Because it's a live streaming video chat, if your computer is not running fast enough, if the processor is not right, it's not going to work so well. And what's interesting is I can do Google Hangouts on my phone and also on my tablet, which are both newer, but it doesn't work so well on my laptop. And especially if I have multiple resources open, if I've got multiple browsers and files, the more stuff that's open, the worse Google Hangouts tends to perform. So that's just something to keep in mind with a technology like Google Hangouts is sometimes you have to make sure you've got newer, more current technology in order to make it function. A new laptop is on my list at some point, but I'm not quite there yet. So I keep going out and searching online for the perfect deal. So at some point I will find one that I like and we'll get that, and that will probably solve that problem. But in the meantime, what I would encourage you to do is start being open to the possibility of doing some Google Hangouts. And at a very minimum, what you need in order to be able to do a Google Hangout is you need a Google Plus account. And Google Plus is the social media site that is part of Google, and if you have a Google account or a Gmail account, then you can set up a Google Plus account that's related to it, and then once that's set up, then you can go out there, and there's a place within Google Plus where you can access the Hangouts. If you're using a mobile device, like a tablet computer or a mobile phone, then you should have a separate app just for Hangouts, and so you can kind of bypass Google Plus and just go straight to the Hangouts, and it would select your list of contacts through Google Plus, and then once you find one, then you can invite them to a Hangout. And there is a limitation of how many people you can have on Hangout. I believe that is around 10 people maximum, 10 people including yourself on a Google Hangout. Now, there's another type of Hangout, and that is what is called a GHO, a Google Hangout Online. And that is different because it gives you an opportunity to reach a larger audience. And that can actually be live streamed on the internet for others to see. You can even live stream it through YouTube. So one of the things you need to know about the technology is that Google owns YouTube. So they have worked to integrate YouTube in with Google Plus and with Google Hangouts. In fact, you can even go to YouTube and you can start a Google Hangout online and you can broadcast that out for others to see. So is there anybody on the webinar, by the way, who's interested in hosting a Google Hangout online or a GHO? If so, go ahead and post that in the group. And you know, and again, you could do a Google Hangout just for you know, a couple people, up to 10, but to do a bigger one, do it more like a webinar style, that takes a bit more work. And by the way, there are also some third party tools that you can get for Google Hangouts that will help to give you additional capabilities. In fact, there's something called the lower third, which means on the bottom portion of the screen, you can list, for instance, your name. So while you're talking on the webinar or somebody else is talking, instead of just having, you know, your face up there, it'll actually have your name and like your title, for instance, on there. And that's not part of the main Google Hangout software. You need to actually have that separate. You have to install that separately in order for that to work and then have the lower third show up. So that's something to take a look at. All right. We're just about getting to the point where we're going to open up for questions. So if you have any questions, now would be a great time to post in the Facebook group. Go ahead and visit the Sales Technology Training Program Facebook group and share a question out there. And I'll pop out there in a few minutes and check your questions. In the meantime, let me share a few ideas related to how to plan a webinar. And really, this concept, you can take it and you can apply it to teleseminars and also to Google Hangouts. But I just wanted to use webinars as an example here. So first of all, the first step in the process is to determine your outcomes or your goals. What is it that you want to accomplish from the event? Some common goals would be for lead generation. Another common goal would be to generate a sale. And so if you're clear about what your goals are, it becomes much easier in terms of being able to decide what you need to do to accomplish that. The next step is to identify the specific offer. What is your offer? So if you are offering something for free, what is it? When are you going to talk about it? Are you expecting people to go out immediately and get it? If you're going to sell something, what is the sales offer? How much does it cost? How are you going to explain it? When are you going to explain it? When are you going to make the offer? So again, get clear about what your goals or outcomes are, and that's going to help you to determine what should happen in the webinar and when. Once you have that, then it's a matter of saying, okay, well, what am I going to share that's of value during this webinar? So you need to select a topic, something to talk about. And the topic also is important from the standpoint of attracting people. So you want to attract the right potential clients for whatever offer that you have. Also, create a compelling title. The title of your webinar can help to grab attention. Create an outline. What is the outline for your webinar? And an outline is just, it's a way of just starting to gather your ideas as you're working on the content. For example, if you knew that you were creating a PowerPoint slide deck, then you'd have to think, well, what do I want on the slides? And so you might make a list of different slides that you're going to need. That might be part of the outline. And then once you have the list, then you can start working on creating those slides. Create a script. Just like with a teleseminar, you can have a script. And you don't necessarily have to read from the script. You could practice your script and then work, say, from your outline if you want to or something else, or just, you know, work off of the slides. But there's a value of scripting out what it is that you're going to say on the presentation. And the other thing is, if you've already recorded, if you've already done a teleseminar, you already have the script for that. Now you can take that and you can modify it for a webinar format. So you can probably just make a few tweaks and now it's available for a webinar. And then, of course, the next big step is going to be to create slides. You're going to need PowerPoint slides or whatever system that you're using to create slides for your presentation. And with slides, that is that's where you're going to share the information. And what's nice is, see, with a teleseminar, you just have yourself speaking. And there are other things you can do from a sound standpoint during a teleseminar, but it's primarily going to be you speaking. And with a webinar, you also have then a visual. You have the slides. I've even seen in some cases where people have played videos during their presentation as well. Schedule the event using webinar software. So again, you're going to need some type of software that you can use to host the webinar. And once you set that up, then you need to create the event, select the date and time, add any additional details, and then it will give you some type of a link where people can go out and register for the event. And again, some of the tools don't have a registration process. It might just give you a link that you could share and then people could join the meeting. And once you have that software in place, then the question becomes, how do you market and promote that event? How do you market and promote that webinar? How do you invite people to it? In fact, for the webinar on Friday, I'm working on an email message right now that I could send out. Earlier today, I set up a Facebook event, and then I shared that Facebook event out on my Facebook page. There's all sorts of strategies that you can use to get people to events, whether it's a live event, a teleseminar, or a webinar. You want to make sure you're using as many as possible to make that happen. All right, well, let me pop down to the Facebook page, and we'll see who's posting there. And again, join me out on Facebook. search for the Sales Technology Training Program group. And our goal, by the way, today is 40 comments. 40 comments. Wow, looks like we are already up to 27. Great job. You guys are on a roll. All right, let's see here. All right, let's see. Alan says, people like to connect with others. People like to meet new people and talk about themselves. Absolutely. He says, Roy says, don't have any of my own events scheduled. I'm often promoting other people's, though. Very good. Alan says, online interaction is still connecting. It is personal when people participate and respond. Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the reasons I like to encourage interaction through the Facebook group, because then we can see who is on the call in this case, and then we can interact with each other in the process. Real said, couldn't get online, but I'm here now. Awesome. Thanks for joining in, Real. And then Roy says, glad you were able to make it real. And then Roy said, teleseminar is easiest technically. Yeah, absolutely. And if you're not a tech-savvy person, then it would definitely be a great place to start and experiment with and just kind of get used to communicating and interacting with people. Let's see. Alan says, conference calls are simple and less intimidating. I think I read that one earlier. Real said, great idea, casual game, Alan. I was just thinking about that the other night. Great minds think alike. Perfect. Roy said, Google Hangouts are another option. Alan says, lots of webinar hosting services available. Definitely. Alan says, need current up-to-date technology to participate in the Google Hangout. Yeah, absolutely. Real says, Google owns YouTube. Nice to know. Yes, they'll pretty much own everything one day, I have a feeling. I heard about a month ago that Google bought out 5 companies that manufacture robots. And one of the companies that manufactures robots actually manufactures robots for the Department of Defense. So Google is making what would you call it? I guess military robots. Kind of a scary thought. That in their strange barge that they have out in the San Francisco Bay that kind of floats around and they keep reconfiguring it and doing stuff, lots of bizarre stuff at that company. Roy says, use GHO to speed up your hangout. Absolutely. Real says, huh, Roy? Sorry, missed that one. What does GHO stand for? Ah, yeah, the Google Hangout Online. Alan says, compelling title for webinar piques interest. Yes. Absolutely, and you know, always think about your audience, who you're trying to reach when you select the name of your title. And you can also have a title and a subtitle as well. Alan says, determine the goal of your event first, then think of best way to conduct it, definitely. And then he says, promote your event in multiple ways. All right, 2 more comments here, and then I'll read a few more notes. And again, if you have any questions, that would be a great time to post your questions in the group. Ralph says, looks like it's guys' night to comment. Yeah, where are all the ladies tonight? That's a good question. That's a good point. Let me go back over here. Is there something going on tonight? Oh, Judy has joined in. I see Judy is on the line. So we do have a lady joining in. So, Judy, if you want to pop into the Facebook group, that would be great. Roy says, Google buying up competitors. Yep, absolutely. All right, let me share a few more ideas here. So let me talk about some more tips to use teleseminars. For those of you interested in doing a teleseminar, a couple thoughts. One is around registration. In order to have people register for a teleseminar, you're going to need to set up some kind of a registration page. Now, by the way, if you're just getting started out and you don't have a website and all the tools in place, one site you might want to check out is Eventbrite. It's E-N-T, and then B-R-I-T-E, eventbrite.com. And that site allows you to set up events. And by the way, for free events, there's no charge to set up an event and promote it. And for paid events, they do charge a fee. That's also nice if you don't have a merchant account. They will actually take the payment for you, and then they will turn around and pay you. So Eventbrite is an option for those getting started. Otherwise, you would set up a website, and you would create a registration page. You would include a opt-in form from your email marketing system. And then when people go to the page and fill out the form, that opts them into your email marketing system, and now you can follow up with them over time. So that's another technique that you can use. Another tip related to teleseminars, and this actually would work for the other ones as well, but particularly easy for teleseminars, is that you can record the call, and then you can provide the recording to the audience. So with a teleseminar, you would record the file, or would automatically record it in most cases if you start the recording, and you can download the file as an MP3 file. And in order to distribute that file, you've got a couple things that you can do. You can upload that file to the internet, and then you could put the link out onto a web page, and then invite people to right-click and download that file. And that will save that MP3 file to their computer, and then they can go access it. Another technology tool that you can use is a player. There are various players that you can install that will take an audio file and play it. And most computers or most browsers, when if you just click on a file, like an MP3 file, it will automatically pull up a player on the site anyway. But I have a service that I use called Audio Acrobat, and I upload files there, and I can create and embed different players onto a web page, which will give people an opportunity to play that video, that audio file. Now, how and when should you use a Google Hangout? Well, at a certain point, if you've mastered all the technologies, then the question becomes, when do you do a teleseminar, when do you do a webinar, and when do you do a Google Hangout? So one of the things to think about is, who's your audience? Who are you trying to reach? Are they more likely to participate or want to participate in a teleseminar, a webinar, or a Google Hangout? If it's a younger audience, they might like to do a video chat and have more opportunities for interaction. Otherwise, a webinar or a teleseminar might be the best bet. Here's another factor. Are you going to have a good internet connection when you're doing the presentation? In a lot of cases, let's say you're going to be on the road, and some of the folks listening today, you might travel a lot, others might not. If you're going to be on the road at a hotel, then it's very possible that you're not going to get the best quality bandwidth. You might be connecting in through Wi-Fi, for instance, and so trying to run a webinar through a Wi-Fi connection at a hotel, probably not the best bet. And so in that case, then you would want to select a teleseminar format just simply because the quality of the connection is going to be better. And that's important. And you may be doing it off your cell phone or something else. But just think about where you're going to be and what your connection is and if there are going to be any issues. And that's going to help you select the presentation. So think about the audience. Think about the technology. And there might be other factors beyond that. You might want to rotate between the different types of presentations. And you might want to see which ones you like best. You might have your own personal preference. I like to do a mixture. I like to do teleseminars. I like to do some webinars. And I'm experimenting with Google Hangouts. I've had the most challenges with the Hangouts. And I haven't done an official GHO yet, or Google Hangout Online yet, where gives other people the opportunity to participate. Or like a larger audience, but I want to be able to do that in the future as well. For that, I would probably want to use the computer for it, though, which means my current connection is not going to work so well for it. For one thing, I think the third-party tools that you can get, I don't know if those are available for like a tablet or a phone, And so there are just multiple reasons why you probably want to use a computer if you're going to be hosting one of those. Then, so how do you promote a Google Hangout? How do you promote your events? Well, first of all, you want to use a sequential marketing strategy. So sequential marketing just simply means breaking it down into different steps in order to communicate your message over time. So it's a sequence, and it's a sequence over time. When I host events, there's a couple main things that I do to promote those or invite people to them. I send out an email message, and then I post out on social media. So I might post on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. I might create a video for it. You can also post on Google+. Now, by the way, if you're hosting a Google Hangout, it would probably be a really smart idea to set up a Google event and then invite people to it. And that way, one of the nice things is those events you set up, then it will show up in people's calendars, in some cases based on who you invite. So you create the event within Google+. And then you can select who to share that with, and you share it based on circles. Okay, I'm going to pop out to the Facebook group real quick, and we'll see who's posting out here. All right, I'm out in the Facebook group now and pulling up the event. Wow, we're up to 39 comments already. Great job. Okay, let's see. Alan says, promote your event in multiple ways. Yes, sequential marketing, promote it in a lot of different ways. Rial says, oh, wait, no, hang on. Here we go. Alan says, guys hang out online. GHO, very good. Alan says, Eventbrite is fantastic for event registration. Very good. Les Jarvila is posting and says, practice is important. Years ago, as I began learning about this technology, I set up conference calls with distant family members. I used freeconferencecall.com. I invited aunts, uncles, cousins, etc. to join the call and share memories. I learned how to manage a large conference call with no business impact for my inexperience. It was the best practice and great for all. Yeah, great point. Practice is important. Hosting a trial run to experiment with the technology and make use of it and be able to troubleshoot some of the problems that you might have. That's important. Some of the services have an operator that you can ask to come onto the line, but most of those free conference bridge lines do not. And so you're kind of on your own. If you have a problem, then it's your problem to figure out. Ralph says, good one, Les Jarvila. Alan says, teleseminars can be recorded for later viewing. Yes, and so can webinars and the Google Hangouts. I haven't experimented with recording on that yet. I would imagine there's some capability to do that, but I don't know exactly whether there are tools built in or whether you'd have to do something separately. You might be able to utilize something like Camtasia to record the audio and video for a Google Hangout. Roy says, when to do a teleseminar versus webinar versus a Google Hangout. Alan says, definitely do practice runs. And says, make sure you have a good internet connection where you are doing your teleseminar. Definitely. And then Alan says, promote using sequential marketing. Yeah, and really, the thing about event marketing is it's ideal if you can get all of your event marketing done in advance. And if you can't get it all done in advance, you do it as quickly as you can and work to get the word out there. In general, for things like teleseminars and webinars, I would suggest starting to promote maybe 3 or 4 weeks out. But really, it's going to depend on a couple factors. It's going to depend on how often you're hosting events. It's going to depend on I lost my train of thought on that one. So let me go on to the next idea here. Let's see. Roy says, Rick, any thoughts on audio equipment for Hangouts? Well, yes. One tip that I learned from someone is that one of the challenges on video for Hangouts is that, or for the audio side, is that you can hear an echo sometimes. And the reason is that you're speaking and they're speaking, and so, you know, when you're talking into, say, your computer, then your speakers are emitting sound, and that sound can get picked up and then transmitted back to them. And so then it causes, you know, a number of different problems. And so in that case, then you have to come up with some other kind of solution. And so there are headsets where you can put them on and then speak into the headset, and then the sound goes into your ears. So you hear it through the headset, and then you have a microphone where you're speaking into, where it carries the information back to them. So they're only hearing you speaking versus hearing you and them. So, in fact, they have some headsets which will even fit around the back of your head. And it's, I think it's kind of, it's designed so that it will be less distracting. And so the cord would kind of come up your back and then reach around to your head and then go up into your ears so you could hear the information. So that's something to consider as far as audio. Rael says, yes, you can record GHO. I've seen them, and I don't believe they use Camtasia. I think they end up on YouTube somehow. Yeah, that's a good point. If you're live streaming to YouTube, it should also be recording it directly onto YouTube. Good point. And then I would think you'd somehow be able to download from YouTube as well. Alan says, promote in advance, cast a wide net, email lists from your database. Yeah, absolutely. So as you're promoting, then work to get the word out there. Even if somebody's not interested, they might forward it on and pass the word to somebody else. And again, you can also create events online, like on Facebook events, and then share that as well. All right, looks like we've got about 10 minutes left before the top of the hour. So got a couple more tips to share. So if you're doing a Google Hangout, then what kind of communication should you have? Well, within Google Hangouts, you have not only the video, but you also have a chat feature. And so people can type directly into the chat, and that shows up for others to see. In addition to that, it might also make sense to have some conversation directly out on Google Plus, since that is the site related to Google Hangout. So normally I would invite people to go and contact me on my Facebook page. So in the case of doing a Google Hangout, instead of sending people to Facebook, it might make sense to send people to Google Plus, give them some practice there as well. Now, we talked a little bit about events earlier, but one other idea I want to share with you is that you can invite other people to your events, and you can have other people share those events with others. So the way to think about this is, you know, people typically know people who are like them. And so if you get the word out based on an event, then it's very possible that you might have others sharing that because they found interest in it. So that's a great technique. So start by thinking about who you can reach out to and ask them to share your event. You could send messages through Facebook. You could also pick up the phone and call them and ask them. Now, well, let's talk about Facebook events themselves, because I use Facebook events quite a bit. At the top of this call, I shared a link to a webinar that I'm doing on Friday, April 18th. And that's set up as a Facebook event. One of the advanced techniques that you can use on a Facebook event is to create a custom cover image. The cover image is an image that goes at the top of the page, and then that information helps to, when you set up the Facebook event, then you can you put details in there. You put the title of it. You put the details about the event itself, including if you have a link to go register. You put the start and the end time, and then where it's located. So if it's a physical location, then put that. If it's a virtual location, then you could say it's a webinar and even include a registration link directly there. So that's a Facebook event. All right, let me pop back out to the Facebook page. And if you haven't had a chance to join into the conversation, now would be a great time to jump in. And if you have been joining, feel free to share your questions so I can respond to those. Okay, it looks like we're up to 43. All right, refreshing the screen. Roy says, during a Hangout, you can use chat and Google+. Yes, definitely. Definitely, you want to be creating some interaction that way. Not everybody's going to have a chance to speak. One of the things kind of unique about Google Hangouts is instead of just like a traditional presentation where it's you and the presenter, you could potentially have other people come directly on the line and present as well. And this is one of the reasons why Google Hangouts are more complex, is that there's more to have to figure out. There's more potential options about what you can do. It's not a bad thing. It just is what it is. It just means that you need more experience working with it so that you can really be able to leverage that. All right, checking back out on the page again. Let me cover one more idea. How do you make sure you get the people to the event? So it's a good idea that after people register for an event, you send out a reminder message. And one thing that's nice about using a service like GoToWebinar is it will handle the reminders for you, and you have control over when those reminders go out. You can have them go out a week in advance, a day in advance, the day of the event, and that gives you some more flexibility to choose how to communicate about that event. And it's also good for people who might not have written it down to follow up and respond. Rayal says, just did an event through Facebook through my wife's page. People actually showed up at my house. Decent turnout for our first event. Awesome. Great job. Reese said, use a reminder message to boost your attendance. Yeah, absolutely. Just sending that reminder message alone will help you get out in front of them to let them know to attend. Because sometimes people forget. People are busy. There's a lot of things going on. And so sometimes you just have to grab their attention. All right. Well, let me do one final check here for questions, and then we'll go ahead and wrap up the call today. Well, let's also end with a commitment here. So if this strategy fits for you, would you like to commit to schedule some type of an event that you can do this year? So remember, there are a lot of folks who have the ability to do an event. For whatever reason, they're not taking action. There are some that just may not have the technology down and know exactly what to do. So go ahead and post a message in the Facebook group. Let me know if you want to commit to. At the very least, I would probably schedule it for 90 days out. You can schedule it for longer if you want to. It really depends on, like for some of you, you might already be doing public speaking. So you wouldn't be starting from the drawing board. You'd be starting with a presentation you already have and then just making adjustments to it. Rayal said, I think updating the event causes people to see your event again. Yeah, I've done this strategy a lot on with Facebook events. You can create an event, and then once the day of the event passes, then, and sometimes even on the same day, you can follow the option to reschedule the event. You select a new date and time. And the benefit of that is that saves you a little bit of time of having to invite people because they're already invited to the event. Although there is an advantage to having a new notification going out to everybody, and that'll get more people registering. All right. Well, on that note, we're going to go ahead and wrap up. So I want to thank you for joining me today. Hope you got a lot of great information on the call. Next week, we get into another module. We'll actually be covering module 12 next week. And then the following week after that, we're going to have a open coaching discussion. So I definitely encourage you to join me for that one as well. So watch for details in your email. And again, make sure you go out and listen to the audio recordings from these calls and also from the four webinar videos that I did on social media marketing as well. So thanks for joining me today. Have a great week, and God bless.